Tune in every Wednesday morning at 8:20 for Make Them Hear You, a regular spot on KGNU, letting you know how you can have your voice heard on issues up before Congress. This is Chris Moore. News from Washington can be overwhelming, but the recent Women's March proved that there are literally millions of people willing to communicate what they believe in. Make Them Hear You will focus on one thing each week and simple ways that people are expressing their concerns to our elected representatives and senators. It's a 3-minute mini feature simply telling you how people are empowering themselves. Make Them Hear You, Wednesday mornings at 8:20, right here on KGNU. Good evening. This is Chris Moore with KGNU's Opera Box. If you were tuned in last Monday at 7 o'clock, you heard some excerpts of the beautiful opera, Lucia di Lammermoor, a great tragedy. Donizetti was the composer of the music, and it's going to be performed live at the Ellie Calkins Opera House on May 6th, May 9th, May 12th, and 14th. Greg Carpenter, who is the general director of Opera Colorado, and I had a long interview, and I played some of it yesterday, or last week, rather, and I'm playing some of it this evening, and I'm playing some of the music last week and some of the music this evening. You can tell how much this opera means to me. It's one of the greats. It really is. There is probably as much beautiful music in this opera as any ever written. It's in the bel canto style, which simply means beautiful singing, beautiful voice. And so let's take a listen to some of the music. We're going to start with the very, very famous sextet from Lucia di Lammermoor, and then I'm going to be talking with Greg Carpenter about the dramatic power of a sextet or a trio or a quartet or those kinds of things that you see and hear in opera sometimes that are really not possible in most regular theatrical, straight theater works. And then after Greg talks for a while, we're going to hear the famous mad scene and more of the final act of Lucia di Lammermoor. This performance is a classic from 1957. Roberta Peters is our soprano as Lucia, and her supporting cast, Jan Pierce, Philip Mero, Giorgio Tozzi, Piero De Palma, Miti Trucata Pace, and Mario Carlin, with the Rome Opera Orchestra and Chorus, Eric Leinsdorf conducting. So let's get started with the sextet.
Thank you.
Two of Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor, the very, very famous sextet and the grand chorus that is inextricably linked to it. Let's talk a little bit now with Greg Carpenter of Opera Colorado, and he'll shed some light on this work and the upcoming performance, which is a very traditional one, I might add, at the L.A. Calkins Opera House in downtown Denver. That's coming up in early May, and the exact dates of those performances are May 6th, 9th, 12th, and 14th. So do get your tickets now. There are still some available. We'll be talking with Greg Carpenter momentarily.
Now, going back in time to Mozart, who I think of as one of the great all-time masters of having multiple emotions being expressed in trios and quintets mm-hmm. and septets and things like that. Donizetti, of course, does it in a masterful way in his sextet. Can mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about that scene and what different emotions and plots and thoughts are being expressed mm-hmm. by the six characters in the sextet?
You know, the sextet is, I think, a tour de force, and it's, you know, it's something that we quite often hear excerpted on big gala concerts and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the crux of what happens in the first half of the opera, and that is Lucia is finally confronted with the husband that she has to marry, and at that moment is forced to sign the marriage contract. And so each of the characters, it's an aside, you might say, for each character. So each character is expressing the emotion of the moment. Obviously, Enrico is pushing the signing of the marriage contract. Mm-hmm. Arturo is sort of often, you know, he's brought in and doesn't understand why Lucia is being so emotional. In, you know, she's crying. She seems to be distraught. This is her wedding day. Mm-hmm. Why mm-hmm. would she be doing this? So he's got that emotion. Raimondo is either being, again, depending on how the director wants to do it, being sympathetic and trying to help in a fatherly almost way, Lucia at this point, or he could be, again, being coercive at the same time. You have Edgardo being very confrontational. He's come into the room and he's like, wait a minute, she's made a vow to me to marry. How mm-hmm. can she be marrying that person? So you've got all these different agendas, mm-hmm. you might say, intersecting in one amazing piece of music. And I happen to think that the link between those two, Raimondo sings a two-page recit right after the sextet that then links you into the big chorus scene mm-hmm. that culminates that whole thing. I think you can't look at the sextet as the standalone event without what happens directly after that, which is forcing her to sign the marriage contract. It's done. Now we're going to the wedding.
And for our audience members who might not be familiar with opera, this is really one of the miracles of opera, is in theater, generally speaking, unless you're talking about a Robert Altman movie or something, one person talks at a time.
Right.
And one person expresses their thoughts, and then the next thought, and the next mm-hmm. feeling. But here, it's this simultaneity, which is actually closer to reality.
Yeah,
because
it is.
If I'm in a room with four or five people and we all disagree about something, we're all having our own thoughts. And in opera, you can actually make that happen at once in real time, in a way.
Absolutely. And while you may not be able to understand every single word that everybody's saying, because obviously they're saying different words at the same time, that almost cacophony of sound and emotion, boy, does that read across the stage. And you sort of get exactly that sense of almost controlled chaos.
Right.
Is how I look at it. That moment where everything is just coming to a head. You know, everybody is speaking from a different side of the story, almost. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the great emotional, dramatic moments in all of opera at that moment.
Opera Colorado, and geez, the last 10, 12 years, I've really noticed that the singers tend to be on the young side, and they're on the upward swing of their career. Like, you catch them before they're so expensive we can't possibly afford them. But some of them end up becoming, like Isabel Leonard and others, becoming major superstars shortly after they appear on our stage.
Right.
So tell us about the rising stars that we're seeing on the stage this time who look the part because they're younger too, which is great.
Yeah, you know, Ari and I take probably a unique approach, I would say, to casting. We're not looking just at the, you know, who's singing this role all over the world and that's who we have to have. We're really digging in and saying, from a dramatic perspective and a musical perspective, storytelling, all that, who is the best person to sing, let's say, the role of Lucia? And as we really dug into that, you know, looking at Lucia as a 16-year-old, you know, she's looking at a voice that's fresh, beautiful, lyric, has all the ability, the flexibility of the coloratura that's in huge demand in this role, but also a little bit of a sense of vulnerability in the voice and a fragility, because Lucia is a very fragile individual. She's petite, she's vulnerable, she's fragile. And that has to come out in the singing, not just in the body language. And so, you know, Anna just embraces all that.
Anna Christie.
And, you know, I just heard her sing it completely through yesterday in a music rehearsal. And it it has all the thrill of what we want to hear in a Lucia voice, but it also has that sweetness of youth and that vulnerability that I think plays directly into the character and in the drama. Eric Berry, who's singing Edgardo, it has a beautiful lyric tenor voice. I wouldn't say he's young on the scene, but is certainly on the upward trajectory of his career. He sings quite a bit in Europe. But he has the sweetness when it's called for in Edgardo, particularly in the love duet that we talked about in the first act, but then all the energy and the sort of aggressive side that you need for the sextet and the confrontations with Enrico. But then all of that sympathetic quality that you need in the final aria. And it is a tour de force role, so you do need somebody that's got a little bit of age in them to sing Edgardo. And then Enrico, you know, you really need the right kind of baritone, and we've hired Tim Mix. Tim was last with us, back in 2007. He sang Bel Core in our Elixir of Love that we did then. And he's had a wonderful career, and is continuing, obviously. But he's got all the baritonal edge you need in the voice to play this character that vacillates between sympathy sometimes and then real aggression with his sister. And that's how he plays her. You know, he tries to be a little sympathetic in order to get her to move forward. And then when she seems to hedge about marrying the man she doesn't want, then he gets really aggressive and needs to have some edge to the voice. And he's got all of that.
Needs to sound scary.
He needs to sound very demanding. So, you know, those are the three characters I think that we really focused in on in our casting to make real decisions about how does their voice reflect the kind of drama and the kind of character they are. And I think that's important to the work we do.
You've had Ari Pelto as conductor for several years now, and one thing I always notice is that it seems easier if you're just a pianist and you're kind of going with the flow of the singer, and if they slow down or speed up that you stay with them. But Ari seems to have developed a skill of being able to do that with the entire orchestra. So you'll have dozens of musicians that suddenly will slow down because today the singer decides to give a little extra pause in the music or whatever. Tell us a little about him as a conductor, because you're obviously very happy with him. He comes back year after year.
Well, Ari is our music director, so he has a formal position with the company. And, and one of the reasons of doing that, there was numerous reasons to bring him on as music director. I think first and foremost is our desire to really build Opera Colorado, not just from the position of the production values that we put on the stage, but also the musical values. Ari and I believe strongly that you start with great singing, and then you build everything from there. And that's what we've been really focused on. So Ari is an incredibly sympathetic conductor to singers. He understands the human voice and so forth, and he spends a lot of time with the singers before we even start staging. So we have 2 days of rehearsals that are nothing but music, coaching the role with the individual artists working on ensemble things before we even sing it straight through with the full cast and then start the staging process, where quite often in companies you have a quick charge through of all the music and you're right into staging. So we really take time to build a relationship, Ari does, with the singers. And then also with the orchestra, one of the things that I love about Aria is his relationship with the Opera Colorado Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And he's really helped to build that orchestra into an amazing ensemble. And he, I give him more time with the orchestra than a lot of conductors get with other opera companies of our size, in order to get that quality and that fluidity and that relationship that they build, so that Ari can make subtle gestures and the orchestra knows exactly what he wants. And we, you know, we have three major rehearsals with the orchestra and the singers before opening night, so that they can also bond, that what's happening up on the stage and what's and how that comes together, that is a bond that has to be there. It's not something happens in the pit and something happens in the stage and Ari's job is just to manage those two things. Ari's job is to make sure that those things are coming together always, mm-hmm. As an ensemble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Lucia de Lammermoor, you put this on, I guess, about 15 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. So, and this is a fairly traditional production, which is...
A very traditional production.
So this will be a grand opera.
At its best.
So, and it, so it doesn't get performed. It's part of the standard repertoire, but you don't just get to hear it every day. It's mm-hmm. not like Carmen or something.
Yeah.
So people will be able to come and hear it at the Ellie Calkins Opera House on May 6th, 9th, 12th, and 14th.
Right.
And are there any of the concerts or any of the tickets sold out yet?
No, not yet, but obviously Saturday and Sunday are our most popular performances, so they're well sold. So tickets for Tuesday and Friday are certainly available, great seats. So we hope your audience joins us for any one of those four performances.
And it's just operacolorado.org, and they could get their tickets right there.
Absolutely.
Well, I will see you at the Opera House, Greg, and thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Oh! Oh! ed una stirpe infelice de raccogliete voi. Cessò nell'ira il breve fuoco. d'una stirpe infelice, de raccogliete voi. Cessò dell'ira il breve fuoco, sul nemico acciaro abbandonar vivo. Per me la vita io rendo peso, l'universo impero è in deserto, per me facci tuttavia splende il castello. Scarsa fu la notte al tripudio, ingrata donna, mentre io mi struggo in disperato pianto, tu ridi esulti accanto al felice consorte. Tu delle gioie in seno, tu delle gioie in seno, io della morte dell'amore.
Thank you.
cielo, rispondete, rispondete. Lucia diceste,
Domestino,
su parlate,
Silla misera se vuol,
Sventurato in terra più non è, e
Senato, oh Senato,
ma che fai, ma che fai?
Mari voglio, mari voglio.
Ritorna in me, ritorna in me, ritorna in me.
No, no, no!
Ah! E facesti?
Excerpts from Lucia di Lammermoor of Donizetti coming to Opera Colorado May 6th, 9th, 12th, and 14th. Do get your tickets as soon as you can at the L.A. Calkins Opera House, operacolorado.org. And by the way, drop into bdtstage.org and check out their show Disenchanted, which runs only through May 6th. This is Chris Moore with Opera Box, and I'll see you next month.
Hello, you've tuned in to a Classic Monday with James. Where you tuned into is KGNU Boulder, Denver, with translators K229AC Nederland and K254CH LaPorte, Colorado. And welcome this evening. It's just about getting dark now, and there's even a little sprinkle of rain here. I wouldn't say it's enough to count for much, but we'll take it. Tonight we got classical music until 10 p.m., a variety of classical music. I was wondering what to do, as I often do as I prepare to come on down to do the show, and I decided that I pulled up a bunch of different random but excellent pieces of music, and I'm keeping it tonight to quartets and smaller. So solo works, duets, trios, and quartets tonight. Mostly music of the 20th century. Maybe we'll go back to the 19th century and such too. We'll just see where it goes. The music will stand on its own. I always want to go to, big orchestral pieces when I'm doing radio. But, if you sit down and pay attention to this smaller scope music, there's just as much music there as there is in a big orchestral piece. You just got to pay attention to it and let it work for you that way. We're going to open up with solo piano music of, I always got to get the glasses on here, Enrique Granados. We're going to listen to the Allegro di Concerto as performed by Alicia de la Roja on piano, who is one of the foremost pianists when it comes to Granados' music. So do stay tuned. till 10 p.m.